At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare.
All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Tiffany Love of Beauty Behind Bars, and this episode of Ear Hustle contains language that may not be appropriate for all listeners. Discretion is advised.
Hi there, my name is Carly, and I am in love with someone who is currently incarcerated.
I was just calling to share my funny prison story.
My husband's done 41 years. I've done 25 of them.
Hi, this is in response to the love stories. I just did 10 years in a Texas prison.
And my prison romance started about 30 years ago. And the story that I have is a little bit sad. So I left a message earlier, but I don't think I explained it very well.
Met an incredible heiress. She's been my Christmas Eve gift. She's been my Christmas gift. She's been my New Year's Eve present.
I fell in love with him. He fell in love with me. And now we are waiting back for our papers because, yes, we currently said I do to each other. There's our story.
Erlan, we have talked a lot about love on this show.
Right.
But it's always been in the service of another topic, like love in COVID, love in sports, love in the visiting room.
So we've never done an episode that's just a plain old love story.
I don't think so.
Okay. So that's what we're about to do then.
Yes. Not that long ago, we put a call out on social media. We kind of set up our own, what was that show called?
Love Line.
Yes, Love Line. To be honest, I really just wanted to know what kinds of stories were out there.
Well, let's find out.
Today, we're going to tell a prison love story. And unlike most of those callers, this one takes place entirely within the prison walls. I'm Nigel Poor.
And I'm Erlan Woods. And this is Ear Hustle from PRX's Radiotopia, Love Line Edition.
This relationship was different. This wasn't a fairy tale. It wasn't some country music love song. So it wasn't what I thought love was going to be. I felt so comfortable just talking about what I was afraid of. That's what being in love was like for me.
Nige, You met Boots through Tony, right?
Exactly. And Tony's one of our producers on the show working from inside San Quentin.
And he told you in New York to bring this cat in for an interview.
Yeah, and to be honest, Erlan, I wasn't exactly sure what we were going to talk about. But Boots sat down and started telling this story.
So in 2019, this guy came to San Quentin. And he and I hit it off immediately. The connection was so good. I literally remember the day. He walked me back to West Block and... you know, he showed me a couple of his tattoos, and his way of flirting was, you know, maybe I'll stop by your cell and show you the rest of my tattoos sometime, you know? And I laughed. I was like, yeah, sure, you know? I took a few more steps, and then I say, wait, are you fucking serious? Right? Because I thought he was joking. What, me? You gotta be kidding me, right? I couldn't believe that someone as amazing as him would take an interest in me. Like, Max is a 9, and I'm like a 2. And, like, he chased me, not the other way around, you know? He's got a beautiful smile, and he's got this intelligent sense of humor, like, smart sense of humor. And he's got this, like, rich voice, you know? It's just, like, it's nice to listen to. Like, there's, like, all this stuff about him is just very, very attractive, right?
Since this is audio, since you've described him in depth, will you describe yourself in depth?
I'm short, fat, and ugly. Three easy words to just take very good care of that description right off the bat. Oh, yeah. I've got these tiny little ears that look like chicharronis, like little pork skins.
I got a question for you, Nash.
Yes?
How does his ears look like chicharronis?
Okay, well, it was funny that he used that word because I think you know I really love chicharrones, right? Whenever we go on a road trip, that's my snack.
Right.
I recognize those ears. They're like just little curly, small, kind of like a shrimp. So Max and Boots started dating, and it's a little hard for me to imagine because, honestly, I don't know if I can think of a less romantic place in the world than a prison.
What?
I mean, yeah, I mean, there's no privacy. Where do you go on dates?
Well, I mean, you got to look at it probably through the eyes of the individuals that's falling in love, you know? It probably looks like a Venice or something.
Right, so what you're saying is when you're in love, everything looks beautiful?
Probably looks totally different.
I mean, we'd sit in the lower yard watching the baseball games. It was late summer, you know, sun was going down by Mount Tam. And, I mean, come on, this is shit that people do on the streets, right? You know? You can go watch a baseball game in the late evening and just watch the fucking sun go down. It's crazy. It's like, it's normal shit. Honestly, I felt like I wasn't in prison. He took me out of this place.
Earlonne, I know you missed a lot of things when you were in prison, but listening to Boots made me wonder, what about dating? Did you miss that?
I mean, of course, you know, you miss out in life, you know. And, you know, it would be something fun to do, but I think I was on a totally different mission.
What do you mean?
I was on a mission to get out and not get fall into the sappiness of love and shit.
Okay, Earlonne, you say that, but I'm sorry. You and so many other guys I've met in San Quentin act all tough, but every time we bring up the topic of romance, you know exactly what comes to mind for me. You know it.
Yep.
Everybody's seen The Notebook by now, right? Is it like spoiler alert thing?
I haven't.
You haven't?
No.
No, I haven't seen it either.
I'm the only gangster you'll probably ever meet. That my favorite movie would be The Notebook.
Tearjerker, but it's cool. It hits you, you know, it hits you here in the heart.
Of course I cried. It was a very emotional, very emotional.
The Notebook, Nigel. How many times you gonna bring this up?
This was from an episode we did back in season 4. And you know when something makes an impression on me, I'm gonna bring it up again and again and again. I'm sorry.
I know, I hear you, I hear you. I think dudes in prison just get hella sensitive about shit. You know what I'm saying? Because you're not in the main fold of everything. Mm-hmm. You're not like taking someone out on a date. You're not doing none of that. So you kind of like live in the movies and in your mind.
But for Boots and Max, they didn't have to live in the movies because they were living it in prison.
Yeah, but it's not that simple. You know what I'm saying? Because there are definitely a lot of guys in prison who aren't okay with people being gay. And to be honest, I don't think this happens a lot. But sometimes, I mean, there can be violence.
Yeah, I mean, I gotta say, the prisons I've been to are some of the most homophobic places I've ever been. Mm. And for Max, it got really bad. Boots said the problem started when Max moved into a new housing unit.
H unit. Dorm living.
It is totally different than living in a cell. It's completely open. There's so many people. No privacy. You're really exposed.
Immediately, the stresses, the problems, the harassment. He's the only gay guy in the building he was in. He's not a weak guy. He's a Marine Corps vet, and he's not flamboyant either. not a person who bothers people, gets in their way. He's not a rat, not any of that stuff. Got along very well with everyone. But one guy. It was about 10 minutes after 8 o'clock at night, and this guy on my tier came to my bars and said, "Hey, I don't know what has happened, but they just took Max off the yard on the back of a cart, and he was covered in blood." I don't know, my mind just, I was just blank. I jumped up, I grabbed my ID, and I ran. A couple of guys on the yard were like, "Yeah, they took Max, they took Max." They were saying his blood was on the ground back there. I was fucking furious, you know? I've spent a lot of my life in these places. I had no idea, except to try to level that playing field in some kind of way, you know? Just like I'm sure 90% of everyone else in this place, you know, when somebody hurts you, you hurt back. Every chance I got, I was going down to the yard trying to find the guy and trying to find out who he was and just being, honestly, being an idiot. And finally, this guy that knew the guy was pointing him out to me. "That's him right there." And as he's telling me, there's one cop coming from this direction, two cops coming from another direction, and they were escorting him off the yard. I don't have a history of being loved and appreciated and cared for, and so having that and then losing it and having no information on how he was doing and whether he was okay, and I had no idea how to deal with that.
Erlan, did you ever really see that kind of violence against gay people in prison? Either like at San Quentin or someplace else? So like, what?
Not really. I didn't see like physical violence. Mm-hmm. I seen like maybe mental violence where, you know, individuals pretty much like, you know, stop talking to individuals based like on their choices to be in a relationship with a gay person.
Wait, so do you know anyone that was in that situation?
I know a cat that, you know, we used to all hang out, and one day he had told the homies like, "Hey, yeah, man, you know, I'm finna move this dude up in the cell." Mm-hmm. And I watched individuals just like ostracize him.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, say for instance, cats wasn't eating after him no more. You know, if individuals was in the smoking of any kind, they wasn't smoking after him no more. Some cats was just shaking them all.
And this was all because he got involved
with a person that was gay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's a different type of violence.
Yeah, you know? That hurts too.
You know?
It just seems that there's a lot of reasons for guys to kind of keep that secret if they're involved.
You mean keep it on the down low?
Yes, exactly. But Boots was not into that.
I identify as a fag most of the time, but yes, I'm gay.
Why do you choose that word?
Well, is it okay to just speak freely like normally?
Please.
Okay, it's basically a fuck you to all the guys that hate faggots and queers and punks and everything else. Prison is probably 20 or 25 years behind the times, and there's a lot of prejudice and there's a lot of bullshit, and so like, calling myself a fag is like getting to the punchline before everybody else does. It takes the power back a little bit.
I'm just wondering, like, we always hear this thing, like, we can take the power back from words by just calling ourselves that. And I wonder if that's what's really happening. Or do we just, like, is that just our coping mechanism?
Well, it probably is part that. It's maybe a mixture of both. I don't think everything is as clear-cut psychologically as just one thing. But hearing the words on the tier like I do, even in here where I work at, I hear it. I hear it all day, every day. And my way is to just be like, you know what? Fuck it, I'm going to own it. You know? I'm a fag. If you don't like it, you know, that's your problem. That's not mine.
I want to point out the way you said the word faggot. You said it in a very different way, which was with gusto and some kind of, I would say, almost relish. When you said it to me the first time, I was like, oh, he really loves that word.
I think maybe it might help to understand, too, where I came from.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't actually come out of the closet until my 30s. I had experiences, but I didn't own it. I've hated gay people. I have attacked men for acting in a way that I perceived as being feminine. Now that I've not only come out, but also overcome a lot of the prejudice and the stereotypes and the being in prison and being one of the most hated demographics, or if not hated, then at least stereotyped. You know, when I call myself a fag, I'm a big old fag, you know? I own that shit. It's mm-hmm. mine, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the way I see it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a man who loves men. What's the big deal, you know?
Yeah. It's time for a short break. When we get back, we're going to hear a few more of those love stories from the listeners.
And find out what happened with Boots and Max.
The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories, Black truths. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now they are the story. Hear a feed from episodes across NPR podcasts that center Black voices. Stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, Nigel and Erlon. Back in 2003, when I was at CRC down south, I was going out with this girl named Bo, but Bo was a hoe, and she would go out with everybody. She would always try to turn all, like, the straight girls, turn them out. And so finally, after a while, I wrote a letter to Art LeBeau's Sunday Night Special. We would listen to that every night on Sundays, oldies, and I had them dedicate a song to Bo, So Gone by Monica. I thought that was funny.
My prison romance started about 30 years ago when my live-in boyfriend got a life sentence. I was only 21 at the time, so I didn't feel that I could stick around, and I left. But I never got over him, never got married. And then when COVID started, I found your podcast and started writing some incarcerated people as a pen pal thing. One of my pen pals was on his 25th year and told me that people with long sentences either get better or bitter, and I should reach out and find out which he was. So I wrote Khalil, and he is better. He is awesome. We are engaged, and we'll be married in the fall.
I met my fiancé, Ayana, in 2006. She was a lifer, and I was doing time with her. I walked up to her, told her that she was very beautiful, that I needed to get to know her. She replied that we should be better off as friends. Our love grew deeper, and then I proposed to her, knowing that she's a lifer. She said yes. She went to board last year and was found suitable for parole. She's coming home in April, and we will now make our love real out here.
It's been quite some crazy thing for me to be good on the outside without him. Today's Monday. It's my first day at work of the week. I'm very grumpy on Monday. Coming back to the realizations of this is my life and this is what I go through and this is what I struggle with.
So you said something about he was in the hospital for 23 days?
23 days.
So back to Boots and Max. Max was in bad shape. As we heard earlier on the show, he had got beaten up badly by a guy in his housing unit.
He had to have spinal fusion surgery, had to have his jaw put back together because the entire bottom half was split. The hinge of his jaw was shattered. His nose was broken. His eye socket was shattered. He was between Marin General Hospital and the hospital here for 23 days.
Eventually, Max was brought back to the hospital at San Quentin.
But it wasn't like Boots could visit him there.
Nope.
I used to go out to the yard at night and hold up these signs to him, you know, to his window. He's on the fourth floor. I knew what room he was in.
What would they say? Well,
said, I woof you.
It says what?
I made these signs on poster board taped together, you know, and I held them up, said, you know, come back, come back, come back. I actually made a shirt one time, took a white t-shirt and put a big old paw print on it.
That's like, you know what I mean? Like, it's adorable and it's so wonderful. But like, prison is not a place where you think of people showing, you know, that kind of fun-loving, exuberant, I don't care, I just love this person kind of spectacle. I got to ask New Yorker a question. What does it feel like hearing about someone experiencing this kind of love in prison?
I'm jealous because I don't have the same opportunity.
Do you think that drives some of the homophobia?
I don't know, but I'm definitely jealous. I'm definitely hating now.
Yeah, New York, that's got to be hard.
Yeah.
You know, Erlan, I was really struck by New York's reaction. That kind of jealousy never occurred to me before.
Well, I mean, you know, prison can be really lonely. I mean, there's a lot of feelings that you put on hold, you know, while you're in there.
Yeah, I bet.
Finally, after 23 days, Max was released from the hospital. Boots said he first caught sight of him as Max was being escorted down a tier by guards.
Max is one of those, okay, so he's Mexican, right? With this very thick, like, luxurious beard, right? But when he first came back from the hospital, he hardly had any beard at all because, you know, he had to have the surgeries and all this stuff. So most of it was gone. And so at first he didn't even look the same. Couldn't even hug him. I couldn't even, like, hold on to him. I couldn't do nothing. And what I wanted to do was just, like, snatch him up and fucking protect him and drag him in the cell and just kiss him and, like, make everything be better. I couldn't do none of that.
Could you touch each other through the...
So through the bars, holding hands through the bars. And my cellie's behind me. My cellie's straight, kind of conservative, Filipino, lifer. Really good dude, but conservative. So I'm trying to keep the conversation a little bit clean and not make him uncomfortable. But at the same time, like, I'm, like, chomping at the bit.
For, like, were you putting, like, your fingers through?
Yes, absolutely. We're holding hands through the bars and trying to, you know, block that with my body, you know. Man, my heart was, like, just going crazy. I was all smiles, and finally, you know, I didn't even care. I kissed him through the bars. And then my cellie behind me, I heard my cellie behind, like, oh, my fucking God, you know.
You know what was kind of cool?
Talk to me.
After all of that trauma and everything they went through, the months that followed, I mean, they got to live together.
I see you trying to frame this like The Notebook, Nigel.
Oh, my God. You brought it up, not me.
So you said strolling on the yard, holding hands, watching the sunset.
Exactly.
Okay.
Romance.
Okay.
So how long did you have together after he got out of the...
So we only had... another 8 months, I think, after he came back.
Okay. And those were a great 8 months?
Oh, that was amazing. The cellie that I had moved to North Block, and Max moved into my cell. The guy's just telling him, this is crazy. I can't believe you're actually here. It's amazing, you know, that I had to come to prison to meet somebody I've never had an argument with. I've got this tattoo right here on my wrist. It's a little paw print. It says, woof. He's got one too. We've got the same matching tattoos.
Oh.
I love him. He's the first person in my life that ever loved me back, you know?
So what happened to Max, ultimately?
So Max paroled. He paroled June 10th, right before the coronavirus outbreak 2020. And he's doing very well. He's working for Warner Brothers now as a camera operator, and we'll be working the Super Bowl this year.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I'm so proud. He's doing real, real good.
And
So now that he's gone, do you find yourself living in that memory?
All the time. Every day. Every single day. I've got a little notebook. Actually, you know, like I write little notes to him all the time, and it's got the little teal leather cover on it, and as soon as I get all filled up, I'll send it to him. You know?
I really wanted to hear Max's side of this.
I know, and so did I. And believe me, we tried. But unfortunately, San Quentin's on lockdown again with COVID.
Right.
And so there was really no way for us to reach out to Boots and ask him to put us in touch with Max.
But their separation is not going to last forever. I hear Boots only has 3 more years on his sentence.
But until then, he's kind of in the same boat as a lot of people in prison.
What boat is that?
You know, dreaming about someone on the outside. You're kind of living in that movie again, picturing them standing there in front of you.
Shit, imagination is all you got in prison.
Don't get it. He's kind of a tough motherfucker, you know? I mean, in real good shape. He's fucking hot. But the deeper safety of just really, really knowing with no question, no doubt that I am completely, completely safe and taken care of and all of that, you know? And it's okay to be a fucking man and still be a little bit vulnerable. There's a physical place of safety and happiness and just well-being, you know? When you love somebody and when they love you back, you're not supposed to get that in prison. But we did.
So this has definitely gone on for longer than 60 seconds. But my phone number is 530.
And I've never been more in love with her ever. My number is 346.
That was kind of short and simple. Yeah, that's my little love story.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
So I don't know if that's a romance per se, but that's all I got. Thanks. Bye-bye. And that's my story. Thanks.
Ear Hustle would like to thank Samantha, Audrey, Adelaida, Becca, Carly, Andrea, Adriana, Jaquia, Lilia, KitKat's Pretty D, Talena, M, Trish, Sean, and me, Becky, and everyone else who called in to tell us a love story. This episode of Ear Hustle was produced by Erlon Woods, Nigel Poor, Rasan New York Thomas, John Yaya Johnson, Rashid Zinneman, Bruce Wallace, and Tony Tafoya. It was sound designed and engineered by Antoine Williams with music by Antoine David Jossi and Rashid Zinneman. Additional sound design and engineering by Terrence Bernardo. Amy Standen edits the show. Shubnam Sigmund is our digital producer and Julie Shapiro is the executive producer for Radiotopia. We'd also like to thank Warden Ron Broomfield and, as you know, every episode of Ear Hustle has to be approved by this guy here.
This is Lieutenant Sam Robinson, the public information officer at San Quentin State Prison. And for my entire 25 plus years, I've witnessed people come in and try to have some type of relationship or develop romance, whether it's reading guys' letters, searching their cells, or looking at it from a business perspective coming in. This is really a part of the prison experience. So with that, I will say that I approve this episode.
This episode was made possible by the Jess Trust, working to amplify voices, vision, and power of communities that are transforming the justice system.
Ear Hustle is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX. Radiotopia is a collection of independent, listener-supported podcasts.
Some of the best podcasts around. I'm Erlon Woods.
I'm Nigel Poor.
Thanks for listening.
Support for Ear Hustle comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/earhustle. That's odoo.com/earhustle. Odoo, modern management made simple.
Radiotopia. From PR.